It's showtime.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Here we go. We are off and running. The beginning of the second broadcast week of the new year. It is the 8th day of January 2018. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room and be part of the madcap, merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that takes place during the 3 hours this evening, too, in which this program is, in fact, live from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Time, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time this evening. You can also get there over at headon.live. Just either place. There's an access to the chat room. Easy, easy, easy. And if you would like to help keep this program on the air in its 13th year, well, then, by Jove, click on the PayPal interface under the Contribute tab at headonradionetwork.com or the PayPal interface at headon.live and throw a little something in the kitty. We try to raise $200 every evening in order to keep things going here. 10 at 20, 20 at 10, 1 at 200, 2 at 100, 4 at 50, 8 at 25, 16 at 12.50, 32 at 6 and a quarter, or, of course, 64 at $3.13, and we'll roll up that, round up that half penny to 13 cents and put it toward the oil change in the Maybach. Yes. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Did I say that yet? I'm not sure. But, you know, we won't worry about my mental status because, after all, this Friday, Geezer Disgustus is having his first presidential physical exam, and, of course, it has now been announced that, no, there will not be a mental status component to that examination, even though a mental status component is part of every physical examination. So, no, you can forget about that. Never mind the fact that, you know, if he really was hale and hearty, given all the controversy swirling around his mental status right now, that he'd be, I definitely want a mental status exam. Absolutely must have a mental, definitely mental status. Yes, a beautiful mental status exam to show everybody what a stable genius I am. Because stable genius, that entered the lexicon over the weekend, stable genius did. When he said in a tweet that I'm, like, very smart. God. I can never remember the name of that James Garner, Jack Lemmon movie about two ex-presidents. And this is a spoiler, but who cares, because the movie's a million years old. That had a dumbass vice president character in it, who was modeled at the time on Dan Quayle, because at that point, we had not gotten around to having George W. in the White House, and certainly not the carotene Caligula. But the idiot vice president said, you all thought I was stupid. You thought it was a big facade. No, you all thought I was stupid. Well, that shows how smart you are. It was a big facade. That's where we are. That's where we are now. But let's not get ahead of ourselves. It is, of course, Moran Monday on the horn. But as to why this program will only be 2 hours this evening instead of three, well, I'm sorry. In some religions, they have to wear special hats so God will like them. Or the filthy, sinful women have to cover up their filthy, sinful hair so, I don't know, God won't strike them dead or something because he loves them. Or you got to wear shoes or jingle bells or something. Well, in my religion, this evening I have to repeat a phrase over and over and over again. That phrase, of course, is "Roll Tide," and whoever's around responds, "Roll, Roll Tide, Roll." Ah, wait a minute! Early cowbell coming in from Earther. Can't they get a psychologist, proctologist to interview him during his prostate exam? He'll think it's part of the exam. Okay, Earther, that was a dandy. That was a really good one. Okay. Well played, Earther. So anyway, hey, it's good to see Steve from Georgistan in the chat room again this evening. Steve has been a little bit under the weather. Hope you're feeling better, Steve. Roll Tide, Steve. Roll Tide. But I have to, it's religion, you know, because God won't like me if I don't say Roll Tide. Okay, hey, it makes as much sense as having to wear a special hat. Or a piece of, or an execution device, or make the sign of that execution device. Roll Tide, y'all! And so coverage starts at about 8. And that's about the time we'll be knocking off I'll be knocking off to go and engage in my religious devotions. Okay? Ah, thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, letting me know that the stream is hot both on TuneIn and Head On Live. That means the White Rose Society stream is up and running. Yay, thank you very kindly. I was chatting with Ben Birch just a little bit before the program. So maybe the magic is really working this evening. So I'm all fired up for the big contest this evening, and I'll be kind of a nervous. I'll be kind of a nervous wreck for four quarters of football, or not. You know, if I get my way, the game will be over by the end of the first quarter, and we'll understand that. Right, but yeah. Thank you. Offering the proper response when I said "Roll Tide," Steve in New York responded "Roll." See how it works? Very good. The Crimson Deity will favor you now. I'm a little worried though because I don't have all the necessary accoutrements of fandom for a national championship game. I do not have a great big rack of ribs from Dreamland on Jug Factory Road in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And I didn't even get out and smoke any this evening. I didn't. I've just been kind of waiting for eight. But I wanted to fortify myself for the evening. And that's why I asked the periodontic, peripatetic, hardworking scientists at Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, to see if they could come up with something for this evening. In honor of the national championship game between the University of Alabama Crimson Tide and that football squad from somewhere in Georgia. And, of course, being hardworking periodontic peripatetic scientists, they did not fail me. No, they did not fail me at all. And that's why I'm here to tell you this evening about the new product from Horn Nutraceuticals, at Horn Labs on Twitter, That's right. National Championship Nachos. National Championship Nachos come to you in a capsule form with all that greasy, slimy, slickety, sitting in the seats, watching the football game goodness that you've come to expect from stadiums all around the country. National Championship Nachos is, of course, gluten-free, vegan, cruelty-free, free-range, cage-free, and vegetarian, and all kinds of wonderful stuff. And it's all freeze-dried proprietarily and powdered up and crammed into a capsule so that you can get that game-time rush anytime with a handful of National Championship Nachos from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. Now, if you order quickly, you will find that, and you order a three-month supply for only $116.24, we will send you a bundle of meaningless little test strips so that you can know in the safety and security of your own home what we here know at Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. And that is that, why, there's no nutrition, just like absolutely identical to a serving of nachos at a football game, there is no nutritional value whatsoever.
Here's what I found on the web.
Shut up, Siri. There's no nutritional value whatsoever in National Championship Nachos from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter, just as there is none in the stadium. Right. In fact, the capsules are just empty. Who are we kidding? We cut out the middleman here and just... Okay, we're not... Okay, the bottles are empty. Okay, there's no bottles either. We just want you to send us $116.24. Because you can't have a real live, honest-to-God professional radio program unless you've got a real live, honest-to-God bullshit nutritional supplement to hustle each and every evening to credulous people who might actually order them. Don't call now because operators are not standing by. Use no hooks, post no bills, this side up. FOB, COD, ROLLTIDE, ROLL. National Championship Nachos from Horn Nutraceuticals at Horn Labs on Twitter. So we're good that way. Albert from Rhode Island says, I'd love for the Alabama-Georgia game to be played at the Packers Stadium tonight. If Dork Leader wants to prove he's a genius, he should take the Mensa test. Then let the New York Times print his score in a special edition. I'm a Georgia fan. I hope the game goes into overtime. Well, thank you, Albert. Thank you very kindly. See, that would be the perfect game. I mentioned that the other night. There needs to be a bowl game at Lambeau Field in Green Bay, and it needs to be played every year by two teams who think that 40 degrees Fahrenheit is freezing. Teams from Southern California, Texas, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, Florida. Yeah, right, exactly. Meanwhile, note coming in early from Scott and Punky. Stable genius. Technically, Trump is correct. He's perfectly bright enough to muck out stables. By now, he's made it perfectly clear that he is good at slinging mass quantities of horseshit. Beyond that menial job, he's wholly unsuited for a position with any more taxing intellectual requirements. Well, I wasn't doing that. Stop man-slapping Siri, Bob. I'll have you know, I have never done such a thing. But sometimes just... All right, sometimes I do tell her to shut up. But that's because she's a machine and not a person, and I can. I also tell the... When I go to the grocery store, I try to get a human checkout person. I try not to use that... self-checkout thing. Because it annoys the hell out of me. That paranoid computer is convinced that you're going to steal the store blind. Please put item in the bag. Scan next item. Please put item in the bag. Like you can't figure this out. But this is how Skynet begins, remember. Yeah. Now, meanwhile, Steve in New York wants to know, or says, National Championship Nachos. Unfortunately, the nachos will never be as good or genuine without a Buckeye garnish. Oh, let the contention begin. Yes. We do have now a new feature for the last couple of nights now. We call it This Day in Horn History. Yes, we do. And this day in Horn History is for January the 8th, 2018, and for today's edition of This Day in Horn History, we dial the time machine all the way back 10 years to January the 10th, the 8th, January the 8th, 2008, because the January the 10th wouldn't be 10 years, January the 8th, because I'm ciphering. Bob opens the program by announcing a new partial sponsor for the program, the fine people at Coal River Mountain Lodge. True to form, Bob has to explain why he wasn't on air the night before. What with the technology going awry as usual, it's curious enough that Bob's absence due to technology woes seems to have coincided with an evening when the Mountaineers were playing a game of basketball. Editorial, don't worry, Bob. It's just between us. Right. It's the day of the 2008 New Hampshire primary, and Bob's not amused with what he describes as it's all wrestling. It also happens to be the day when a Mountaineer fan puts his playoff beard up for sale up on eBay. Yes. He then proceeds to pull his hair out while doing a play-by-play of three television ads run by the West Virginia Coal Association during the Mountaineers game the night before. The final ad that breaks the Kincaid's back is one where bugs, little animated bugs, praise the coal companies. My family just moved on the valley field as soon as we heard about the beautiful reclamation the coal miners built, says Mr. Bug. Bob's left with significantly less hair on his head after hearing that little nugget. You see, back then, the tennis ball and the hockey puck warning schemes weren't yet hatched. Bob then moves on to taking a call from a member of the Sparkle Fart-powered Unicorn Cavalry Brigade. Yes, they've always existed, who explains, we can't go any further with the status quo. We need an anarcho-syndicalist candidate in order to change the direction of the country. The caller proclaims that candidate to be cranky old Ron Paul. The caller explains that the country is bound for hell if Hillary gets the 2008 Democratic nomination, even if we get out of Iraq. Bob, understandably, is left with far less hair on his head still. There's a crank call placed into the program where the caller is waited on hold for 25 minutes just to go, woo! As soon as Bob brings the caller on the air, that seems to amuse Bob to no end. He then fields a call from the same crank caller, who in fact turns out to be a real caller, who happened to be hooting and hollering about what he heard the previous caller say. Later on in the program, Bob suggests that the Bush administration's criminal enterprise being run out of the White House. Boy, is 2008 Bob in for a surprise just a measly decade down the road. At an hour and 16 minutes into the program, Bob predicts that we will see legalized marriage for all within our lifetime under the auspices of the Full Faith and Credit Amendment to the Constitution, and the rest, as they say, is history. And that was another look back 10 years ago. This day in Horn History. Oh, I was right. For different reasons. But, yeah. I love this day in Horn history. Meanwhile, Bill, up in Allentown, Horn Nutraceuticals. Bob, why do you keep raising the prices for bullshit nutrients? Just asking. Well, it's not a matter of price raising. Sometimes the price is less. It's always at least $100, and I seldom mention the $78.39 of shipping and handling. But it's all based on the it's all based on the price of the ingredients that go into it, you see. So that's the explain that's the explanation for the price. Different ingredients have different costs, especially in the realm of bullshit nutritional supplements, you see. Jim wants to know, what are you wearing and what kinds of snacks are being served at your religious experience? I've got some freshly made guacamole here and some tortilla chips. And sadly, not a lot else. But, you know, at least the tortilla chips are crisp and they snap and they're very near a sacred cracker, just not quite there, but made out of corn instead of, well, they're gluten-free, right? Yeah. But yeah, I don't have my special clothing out. I'm just going to sit here and just, you know, I'm a back row Baptist. Okay, you just sit in the back. You don't make any noise. You don't amen. You don't put your hands in the air. Okay, I holler a little bit, but I'm just going to quietly watch the game. Yeah. That's how that's going to work. in Shreveport, Jack says, Les Nessman says, did I hear somebody say Buckeye News Hawk Award? No, that was Buckeye Garnish. Right. Meanwhile, Jeff from Hellhole, Indiana says, Bob, I'm ordering a large pizza and breadsticks from a local mom-and-pop pizza place and will be parked in front of the TV committing the deadly sin of gluttony. Roll Tide! Amen. Roll. Yes. Of course, the downside to all of this is that Tangerine Tiberius is going to be in the stadium there in Atlanta. I gotta wonder who he's rooting for. On the one hand, not counting West Virginia, Alabama's one of the Trumpiest places on earth, or at least it used to be. But we all know he's a petty and vindictive little pissant. And so, consequently, you've got to figure that given that voters in Alabama so resoundingly rejected the pedophile that he wanted to see in the Senate, he might be rooting for Georgia, y'all. Which would be just fine by me. Right. Dadgummit. Sorry about that, labor man. Subject line, no mas chato. On my Linux machine and can't get into the chat. It's got to cooperate. Any machine in order to get into chat has to cooperate with Java somehow or another. And so I have a feeling Linux machines are a problem in that regard. Although maybe somebody in the chat room can say no, that there's a way. Anatole, Hoghead, Richard, Steve from Georgistan, VT Blom, anybody? Sparky, anybody? Good to know you're here just the same, Liberman. Thank you. Scott and Punky add in, and while I'm thinking about it, in the interest of avoiding the mad rush and getting a goddamn grip, I would not under any circumstances whatsoever vote for Oprah to be president. Oh, yes, you would. Oh, yes, you would. And that's on the list this evening. It's Moran Monday, after all. Yeah, you would. If it's Oprah versus Trump in 20, you'd vote for Oprah, wouldn't you? Sure. Yeah. I'm betting. And there we are. I've been looking. I went and actually watched that cartoon after the stable genius comment this past weekend. Yes, I did go and I did watch Bugs Bunny and I did watch Wile E. Coyote introduce himself as Wile E. Coyote, super genius. I'm just waiting for Donald Trump to order the fucking rocket skates. That's gonna be a blast. Or maybe, you know, throwing down a mat of instant hole in front of, you know, Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags. That'd be good, too. God, I love those. We will never see that level of genius animation again. It's not going to happen. What else? Well, like I said, it's Moorhen Monday. And we got, yep, there's the picture. Wile E. Coyote, genius. Have brain, will travel. Thank you, Sparky. Oh, he's special good. That Wile E. Coyote. Wile E. Coyote, stable genius, president. Are we sure it was the Russians and not the Acme Corporation? I'm just asking. But here we are. Here we are at Moorhen Monday. Let's do this right, shall we? Yes.
You've got to remember that these are just simple farmers. These are people of the land. You know, morons.
Hurry, hurry, hurry. Step right up. You will not believe your ears. It's Moorhen Monday on the horn. Here, mere steps away from the Carnival Midway on the cheaper real estate here on the in the Carnival grounds, you'll find us, a thin cybernetic veil of canvas standing between you and a stunning degree of Moorhenity. We've got them all back here, folks. Right back here behind this thin cybernetic veil reside, well, my goodness gracious, birthers, deathers, ninthers, tenthers, baggers, booger eaters, birchers, libertarians, trumpanzees, maggots, Republicans, all in the Moorhen Monday tent. You know, you can't tell the Moorhens without a program, and this is the program that tells the Moorhens. You just can't tell them much. Yes, for less than 16 cents per hour of programming for the average $10 a month subscriber. Well, my goodness gracious sakes alive, what a bargain. By Grampthar's hammer, I'm not a kidding. So wander away from over there where you're throwing ping pong balls at goldfish bowls trying to win a little baby iguana that'll grow to be 19 feet long and probably, you know, eat your firstborn or something. And come on over here to the Moorhen Monday tent. A little warning, of course, always obtains here on Moorhen Monday that if you're bringing in purses or wallets or small dogs, children, diaper bags, backpacks, European-style messenger bags, even if you're bringing in that iguana that you won throwing the ping-pong balls at the goldfish bowls, keep a close hand and eye on them because the Moorhens can get grabby. Head for the hills or you'll be up to your armpits in Moorhens. And we are, oh, sweet Jesus, we are. Where to start? Oh, I've got a pretty good idea. I've had a pretty good idea for a while. Because they stack up over the course of a weekend, the Moorhens do. That's why we do Moorhens on Monday. And it becomes just a matter of figuring out where to begin. It's pretty easy this time through, however. And we'll wander out to the land of Kansas. Yes, the land of Kansas. Where we have a number of friends, including the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansasstan. And we're going to consider the words, the remarks of State Representative Steve Alford. He is, of course, a repig licking from said land of Kansas. He was appearing over the weekend, talking, as can happen quite often in Kansas, to an all-white group of Kansans. By the way, note coming in from Ron and Raleigh. Subject line on tonight's national championship game, 0-0 tie. Hey, Bob, I grew up in the Jim Crow South when these schools trotted out their all-white squads. I hold a grudge. 0-0 tie would suit me. Yeah, but now you can't, you know, there's no such thing. I think whoever wins should be actually named second place to the University of Central Florida, but where's the billions of dollars in revenue in that? Right. So, according to the Garden City Telegram, a bunch of folks were gathered to listen to the wise musings of Steve Alford when a conversation began to unfold about the marijuanas. Now, you got to figure here in the coming days, after the actions of Jefferson Davis Beauregard Sessions III, the Attorney General of the United States of America, in regard to turning the dogs loose on states that have legalized cannabis, because, just as a reminder, states' rights are only for Republican states, and states' rights are only for states that are enacting laws to keep people of the wrong skin tone from doing things like voting or going to school. Right. Otherwise, states' rights is communism. It's anti-constitutional, un-American. You get the idea. So, the topic of the legalization of cannabis arises, and Steve Alford shares his opinions with us. Now, when I first watched this, I thought it might have been a case of bad headline writing. Because he explains that he's coming from a historical perspective. But then he makes it pretty clear that that historical perspective is actually his perspective. You want to know why incredibly white Kansas can't have the legal marijuanas? I bet you already know the answer, don't you? Listen, as Brother Deacon Asa noted in Today in Horn History, once upon a time there were no hockey puck warnings here. Now there are. Get it. Get the hockey puck now. Because if you don't, the neighbors are liable to show up or somebody's liable to, call the local constabulary, and you might get shot for, hooting like a barn owl in your house and all. You ready? Here we go.
What are the laws against drunk driving on that issue?
I just read a paper in Kansas City where a person was high on marijuana, comes off, runs into another car. Car wreck killed a couple people.
Here's a question. How did they know the person in Kansas City was high on the marijuanas? Because we don't have a means of testing for THC that excludes any THC consumed in the last 28 days or so. I mean, was the smoking doobie still in their fingers? Betwixt their fingers? Was their vaping device attached to their lips? This is critical thinking stuff, and of course, Steve Alford is never going to be accused of committing critical thinking because, after all, he's a goddamn Republican. But nonetheless.
The other thing, too, what about what we've gone through on doing away with smoking in buildings on public and stuff like that? You know, what? You walk up the sidewalk and the guy's smoking marijuana in a car. That smell took up my freedom. I want clean air.
Oh, right. So he doesn't want to breathe the marijuana smoke because it takes away his freedom to clean air. You know, we might want to sit down. Nah, you wouldn't want to because that would involve being in the same room with this freak. But Somebody might want to explain to Steve Alford that while he's standing there on that sidewalk smoking all that clean air, he's not. I mean, he's standing on that sidewalk, but he's not breathing clean air. Because his party works hammer and tongs to make sure that people don't have clean air to breathe. I'll bet you that given an opportunity, for instance, Steve Alford would love him some would love him some fracking. And of course we now know that fracking makes for some particularly unclean air. But never mind the fracking, he's standing there breathing car exhaust, thinking he's breathing clean air, because remember, he's on a sidewalk in front of a building. So buildings with sidewalks in front of them often sit next to, you know, roads, streets, avenues, boulevards, thoroughfares, highways. So Steve Alford is worried about his liberty being impinged by the aroma of burning cannabis, but he's not so worried about all the toxins that he's breathing out of the exhaust pipes of various and sundry vehicles. We're nowhere near the hockey puck part yet. Just letting you know. We're a long way away, not that far, from the hockey puck part. But, you know, this is his opening salvo. There's absolutely, you know, the marijuana's why they cause car accidents, and you have to breathe things while you're breathing exhaust fumes and whatnot. Yeah, I know. Marty pointing out, tell that guy to never go to a Grateful Dead concert. I don't think you can go to Grateful Dead concerts anymore, Marty. But for that matter, don't go to any concerts in any enclosed, right? Because somehow or another, even in this modern non-smoking age, when the lights come up at the end of the concert, there still seems to be a cloud of something in the air over the... It happens. Oh, believe me, it does. So we got car wrecks, and we got secondhand doobie, now, just make sure the hockey puck, now.
Because there's a lot of people giving up smoking, so everyone else can have clean air, or, you know, clean atmosphere and stuff like that.
Can I clarify that that would be against the law in Colorado, too?
What's that?
I just want to clarify that that would be against the law in Colorado, too.
Okay. Yeah, oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that would be... presumably, what the guy said, what would be against the law in Colorado would be people smoking doobies on the sidewalk next to buildings where traffic is passing and pumping out car exhaust. Yes, that would be illegal in Colorado, too, and Colorado has legal marijuanas. I think Steve probably didn't like that guy. But Republicans seldom do when they, yes.
The other thing, too, my wife is a magistrate judge. And she says, basically, any way you say it, marijuana is an entry drug into higher drugs.
Ah, well, he's now quoting his wife, the expert, because his wife is a magistrate judge. I don't know what magistrate judges are like in Kansas, but I can tell you what magistrate judges are like in West Virginia. In West Virginia, you do not even have to have a high school diploma to be a magistrate. You don't have to have ever go. I think it would probably, you kind of have to be semi-literate, but that's as far as it goes. Magistrate judges are just, they stemmed out of the old justice of the peace system. And they are very, very informal courts. You know, they handle things like DUIs. One magistrate down in, because more in Monday, one magistrate down in Kanawha County, which I've seen some auto transcription computer programs render as Canola County, K-A-N-A-W-H-A, Kanawha, It shows up as canola sometimes because computers can be morons too. From my favorite little newspaper, or mid-market or small-market newspaper, the Charleston Gazette Mail. I just call it the Gazette because the mail part is just a right-wing fish wrap. Kanawha Magistrate Pauley suspended for 45 days. Now, Kanawha Magistrate Jack Pauley has been a magistrate in Kanawha County since 1992. That is 26 years, if I'm ciphering correct. He's going to be suspended for 45 days without pay. And he's going to have to pay $7,159.03 for investigation costs into what he did in two separate cases. And in both of those cases, the defendants died. One evening, he left early. He was on the night shift because Kanawha County has magistrates on duty 24/7. And he just left, long night, just left a little early. In his own defense, Pauley said, in Kanawha County, we'll have over 14,000 misdemeanors in a year. We'll have 3,500, 4,000 felonies, and it's just to keep the system moving to accomplish something. It's the rule, and I was wrong. I was asked to do it, and I did it. So he blamed, you know, it's the system's fault. Yes, and the system will be arrested shortly. In one instance, he signed a domestic violence protection order against a 36-year-old man, and the domestic violence protection order didn't have all the information in it that was necessary in order for it to legally issue. This was August 25th, 2016. That evening, he also boogied on his night shift early. At the same time that he boogied early, he didn't sign an arrest warrant for a man by the name of Bikir Keaton. The other guy was Joshua Lee Miles. They didn't know each other. They were just cases rolling across his desk. He issued the domestic violence protection order, didn't issue the arrest warrant. Well, Bikir Keaton didn't get arrested that night, and the next day they found him dead of a gunshot wound. Meanwhile, another magistrate had jurisdiction over the Miles case, and he improperly took... This is just... Remember, we're talking about how Steve Alford's wife is a magistrate judge. So they screwed up... He also screwed up the... protection order, and they didn't fax the order properly to the regional jail, and therefore 36-year-old Joshua Lee Miles was not released as he was supposed to have been. So a little while later, they went to the cell and found where 36-year-old Joshua Lee Miles had hanged himself. Now, this magistrate didn't do either one of the evil deeds. He didn't shoot Keaton or hang Miles. But in each of his actions, it's one of those, for want of a nail, a shoe was lost kind of things. And so, consequently, two people died. And he's going to be punished for it, too. He's going to do 45 days without pay. So... citing one's wife because she's a magistrate judge doesn't carry a lot of weight with me. As Clarity points out, sigh, OMG, the stupid is so thick. Reinserts ball of duct tape. No, Clarity, the hockey puck goes in, then the duct tape goes around. A simple wad of duct tape will never get the job done. Higher drugs, says Clarity. Gateway to higher drugs. I know, and never mind that irritating, annoying, science-y stuff that shows that actual harder drug use has diminished significantly in places like Colorado where, where cannabis has been fully legalized. Never mind that. Steve Alford's wife is a magistrate judge, and she would know. I mean, all you got to do is inject the marijuanas one time, and the next thing you know, you're gobbling opium like a lotus eater. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing this is probably the only radio program that's mentioned lotus eating this evening, but never mind. I hope you didn't take the hockey puck out. If you did, put it back, because here comes the good part, or the bad part, the crazy part, the stupid part, the oh, you'll figure it out part.
What you really need to do is go back in the 30s, and when they outlawed all types of drugs in Kansas across the United States, what was the reason why they did that? One of the reasons why, I hate to say it, it's the African Americans. They were basically users, and they basically responded the worst off those drugs, just because their character, makeup, their genetics, and that. And so, basically, what we're trying to do is we're trying to do a complete reverse of people not remembering of what's happened in the past.
Hopefully you didn't bite through the hockey puck. Why? Let me see if I can translate from the original Kliegel speak. Why can't decent people enjoy the marijuanas anymore? Because the black people. Yep, that's right. African Americans ruined drugs for all the otherwise decent white people who would do them responsibly. Because, you know, African Americans, it just made them crazy. Crazy, 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 crazy. They went wild on the marijuanas. They went wild on everything. Whereas white folks can always be trusted to behave responsibly under the influence of various and sundry mind-altering chemicals. Absolutely. This is one of our more deserving, more, they're all deserving, but this guy, I don't know, we may have to give him a Moran Monday trophy with, I don't know, pointed hat clusters. Because, of course, everything that he mentions is pure bullshit. Now, the truth of the matter is, that reasoning was advanced back then. But he's not saying, I'm saying that this was their reasoning. He's agreeing in 2018 with that reasoning. I mean, haven't you seen that Snoopy Dog fellow? He is all the time smoking the marijuanas, and he doesn't even speak the good English. Wowzer. And Jesus spake, and he saith unto them, the Morans ye have always with ye. This all comes from the really bad thinking of the bad racist thinking of the 1930s. And it all goes back to a guy named Harry Anslinger, Anslinger. He was the founder of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics. Anslinger, writing, once said, and I apologize for the vocabulary involved here, this is a quote, "Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men." And he went on to argue and fight for the criminalization of cannabis, in part because of what he described as its effect on the degenerate races. Bad ideas have a way of being... What? They have a certain tenacity to them, don't they? These are ideas that were promulgated ...75 years ago. They don't have any validity whatsoever. And yet here, in 2018, in Kansas, there stands State Representative Steve Alford arguing that it's a bad idea to legalize cannabis because it will drive the wrong colored people out of their minds. I'd like to say it's astonishing. Sadly, it isn't. Hey, Ron in Raleigh asks, under the subject line, racism, maybe. Could it be that Harry Anslinger, the fellow that was in charge of Prohibition, was then put in charge of drug enforcement, was a virulent racist? See the book, The Emperor Has No Clothes. Yeah, see, that it's a flip-flop. It's not that he learned to be a racist because he saw the effects of drugs in the African-American community. It's that he was a racist, and therefore any bad activity... He, using his racist lens and filter, then ascribed it. You see what I'm getting at. You see how exactly, it's exactly what Ron's talking about. Meanwhile, Bill in Allentown says, see, this is why I try to get a haircut every few months, so that the duct tape doesn't sting that much after I remove the puck after the program. Smart man, Bill. Smart man. Scott and Punky, subject line, Louis Armstrong, pothead. In his day, Louis Armstrong was recognized by Republican and Democrats alike as not only a jazz master, but was seen as America's goodwill ambassador. Old Louis also loved him some reefer, as noted in a Leafly article. Yeah, lots of people did. But the idea, and it wasn't just Anslinger. It was America. You know, we talked a few nights ago about the fact that mental health, anything resembling a humane approach, a humane medical approach to it, is of fairly recent vintage, like in the last 40, 50 years. Well, the same thing can be said with regard to ethnicity, and we know how I feel about the word race. It is only with the rise of the civil rights movement that anything resembling a conversation about race and racism began to take place in this country. And it is far from gone. There was a school of thought that Anslinger was part of that said, well, gosh, those wrong-colored people will never be as smart as white people because they just can't learn like white folks learn. And damned if this didn't move into the modern era with things like the bell curve and persists inside good God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Republican circles to this day. Charles Murray is not exiled from society for the arguments that he and his progeny, his intellectual progeny, have made about people who aren't sufficiently what he deems to be white and ascribing to them various and sundry failings that are a result of their non-whiteness. So you see why this guy was at the top of the Moran stack. James says, "Oh, brother, where art thou? These boys is miscegenated." Mm-hmm. Funny movie, reflection of reality. And in fact, you know, there. And I want to be careful how I phrase this, not because it's loaded or anything, but white racist culture knew what they were doing when they brought these when they allowed these substances to enter various and sundry impoverished communities. Let me use, because I'm reasonably familiar with the history of it, let me use the coal camp as an example. Over the weekend, I posted a video that was taken by one of the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, of a little coal camp a few ridges over from me called Pettus, West Virginia, being disassembled by a coal company. It's just being erased. Lives were lived out there. It was a town. It had its own little bustling economy. And it was a coal camp. Lots of houses. You can spot a coal camp in central Appalachia if you've got an eye for it, almost without even blinking. They all sit in a row. They all look exactly the same. Coal camp. I live not 2 miles from one. And into these coal camps, because the entirety of the coal business was to recoup costs in any way possible, that's why the company store came into existence, where prices were 2 to 2.5 times whatever retail was. And that's why company workers were forbidden and would be blacklisted if they were caught shopping at any of the other merchants' stores. It was all geared toward maximizing profit and limiting cost. And so as these coal camps developed in the early parts of the... I hate it when my root beer explodes. In the early parts of the 20th century... moonshine and, you know, and proper commercially produced liquor were, and tobacco, of course, were allowed into the white parts of the coal company towns. But when... well, thank you. Todd in South Carolina stances. Stop telling people how to be racist, Bob. Thank you. Needed that. At any rate, things were somewhat different. With the coming, okay, two things contributed. There was a desperate need for labor, workers. In the coal mining booms. And the rise of unionism produced a desperate need for scabs. And so the coal companies reached down south and began recruiting African Americans to come and work in the coal camps, promising them that it's going to be hard work, but it's better than what you got here. And a lot of people bought into it and came north. There was a, as is often the case, there was a decided lack of female companionship. And of all the things the coal companies provided, they weren't quite as good at providing prostitutes as they were at everything else. But certain substances were allowed into the segregated coal camps that were not allowed into the white coal camps. Three of those things were cocaine, cannabis, and the brand new heroin. See, this is not the first time that there has been an opioid crisis in Appalachia. But the opioid crisis we're in now is touching far more white folks than it did the first time around. And then, of course, the racist coal operators and the racist white coal miners said, well, see, it's just, you know, those people are blah, blah, Anslinger. Using a level of justification and so-called reasoning that was actually 180 degrees opposed to what the actual causal structure was. And so while there would be, for instance, attempts at justice, not very good ones, in the white communities, killings, murders, what have you, in the African-American coal mining communities, largely went ignored, except for the instances where, say, the Klan would go out for a night ride. But this is a little real world experiment for the Republican Party. How will they respond? Will God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, homosexual, Republican Steve Alford, Christian, will he resign, as he should, for engaging in racist, in the discredited racist rhetoric of 75 years ago? What will the Republican Party of Kansas and the Republican Party of the United States do about representing Alford? Will the Speaker of the Kansas House condemn his remarks? Or will, as I fully expect, it be completely ignored or, with a double down, defended? I think you can probably tell where my money is in this situation, in this scenario. Yeah. Meanwhile, from Australia, subject line, Reefer Madness. Bob, we all know Reefer Madness is a documentary about the effects of the dreaded weed, and it's now a musical? Apparently so. Hey. So. So that's where we begin with the Morans this evening on this truncated version of the horn. I have a little bit of an announcement to make, courtesy of Ralps. Thank you, Ralps. With a new year upon us, Ralps wanted to make sure there was a new end of the month challenge. So in honor of Snot Walker, Scott Walker, Ralph says, I'll offer a Trash Wisconsin challenge. The Trash Wisconsin challenge. $25 for January if the monthly fundraising goal is met. $5 more each month. So 25 is January, 30 is February, 35 March, 40 April, etc. Thank you, Ralphs. Thank you very, very kindly. Okay, so that's the Trash Wisconsin challenge. And that'll go a long way. Thank you very kindly, Ralphs. And as far as fundraising for the evening goes, well, we're at zero. And we will see what happens in the next 55 minutes or so. But right now, we're at zero. So hopefully that will change. And by the way, I have thanks to send out. We have had subscribers over the weekend. Let's go back to as far as Saturday and send out thanks to Sal. Thank you very kindly, Sal. Sal's been a supporter for a very long time. Thank you to Bob in North Carolina. Thank you very kindly to Laurel there in far southwestern Minnesota. Thanks to Kitty in Boston. Thanks, Kitty. And thanks to Chris in Germany. Brock in PA. Thank you, Brock. Thanks to Alex in New York. To Don in West Tennistan. Thank you, Don. And thank you to Kim in New Jersey. Thank you very, very kindly. Thanks as well on the 7th to Reed in California. And to Dr. Allen down Texas way. And then this morning, thanks to Nancy in Virginia. Thanks to Dwayne in PA. Thanks to Tom in PA. And thanks very kindly to Marcia. Thank you, Marcia, in Oregon. And so remember, here's the way we're going to run this. Hopefully, we'll have a full week-long block of fundraising-free January at the end of the month. Hopefully, but we got to meet the fundraising goal every night until then. So here we are, 8 minutes past the hour, second hour of the program, and we are at zero. Hate to say it, we just are. So if anyone would care to hit the PayPal buttons, wherever they are, either over at headonradionetwork.com or headon.live, and bang, there it is. We're off and running. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you very kindly for getting us started. So let's take a brief break and then come back. And if you've got something on your mind, be under your bonnet, a Moran you want to nominate, all things are possible. And just bring it to the table. You know the number, 304-574-8178. 304-574-8178. Or from anywhere on the planet that allows it, via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, Bob Kincaid Horn. And we will demonstrate once again what a wonder conversation radio truly can be. Oh, cool. Well, thank you, Steve from Georgia Stan, letting me know. Already watched the entire first season of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. You hit that recommendation out of the park. I love that program. I absolutely did love that program. And I'm looking forward to the second season. And meanwhile, I have finally started on Star Trek Discovery. And I got to tell you, I'm enjoying the heck out of it. As Ron and Raleigh notes, they have beaten the Star Trek canon half to death. But it's still a pretty good sci-fi yarn. I see the main, given the time setting of it and everything, I think I can actually see a little more connection to the Star Trek universe than maybe Ron sees. But it's good storytelling, and the special effects are outstanding. So that's proving to be a dandy. Hey, thank you, Renee. Thank you very kindly for jumping in. So now we've only got $180 to go in fundraising for this evening. That's tremendous. Thank you very kindly. And I'm glad. And The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is just wonderfully written, and beautifully, powerfully acted. Yeah, I know. I asked, will Steve Alford resign, as he should? And Silent R. Lamar says, Alford resign. Ha 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 ha. Only when shit freezes in hell. Yeah, it sounds like that's about the Republican angle of it. Not saying you're, but that's how they think. Yeah, exactly, Silent R. Lamar. Okay, quick break, and then turn around because, well, there's more morans. Let me give you a hint. There's more morans. Yeah. This is listener-supported conversation radio. Moran Monday, the 8th of January. I'm Bob Kincaid. We'll be back.
Coal trains run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Till the money's all drained from a company town. Well-dressed Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards. While coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Our parents' memories of World War II. Mines worked round the clock, was the American thing to do. Families gathered round their FDR say we'd make it somehow in our town. Jobless faces and their grim plight, while four men and a drag line blow the mountaintop off take its heart out. Now it knows what we've lost in this company town. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Until the life's all drained out of a company town.
I do love that song, Company Town. So we are at 15 past the hour on this this truncated edition of The Horn because of my religious obligations, which will begin in about 45 minutes. Jim has waited patiently over on the line, and let's see what's on his mind. Hey, Jim.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too.
And I thank you, sir. First, do you mean that the Clairol kid's going to be there tonight at that game?
That's what I understand.
You have got to be shitting me.
I wish I was, but...
I can tell you one thing. That whole halftime, what's he going to do for halftime entertainment? You know he's part of it.
Oh, I expect tweeting. He'll have his phone with him there.
Oh, I'm sure.
I wonder what they had to juice him up on to keep him awake this long, this late tonight. Because, I mean, the game's not going to be over till 11, right?
You know,
and we now know that he sleeps irregularly. He's out there twooping at 3 and 4 in the morning, and now we know that he has to have 3 hours of executive time before he can. So he shows up to work about 11 o'clock in the morning.
Well, modern pharmacology, Bob. I mean, don't you remember another guy back in history? He used to get up at 11 to stay up all hours of the night.
Sadly, yes.
Well, there you go.
And that's what I'm asking. What are they going to have? Because, see, they won't release it, and you can't help but get a little... I know it makes us sound conspiracy-ish. I'm sorry. But a 71-year-old guy who is in that kind of shabby physical condition is not a 24/7 guy.
No, he isn't.
By the way, Jim, just to confirm for you, Steve from Georgistan wants you to know, he's going to be here. He's fucking up traffic even worse in Atlanta, asshole. And you know, when you say he's fucking up Atlanta traffic, that's a special...
That has got to be one clusterfuck.
That is
one
a special...
Charlie Foxtrot.
That's a special kind of fucked up when you fuck up Atlanta traffic.
Hello, Steve. Happy New Year to you. But, I mean, good Lord, I'm surprised that he would, I guarantee you one thing, he will have those people down there, no disrespect to your alma mater or Alabama or whatever, or that part of the world, but he's going to have those people so turned up, they'll all be there like postulates waiting for the host.
Well, I agree. I was about to say something similar before you made that observation. The reason he's there is he wants the ovation. It's two schools from states that he carried handily, and he wants to be cheered because he's a 2-year-old in a 71-year-old skin suit.
Yeah, you're right. And unfortunately, he is the most, well... by some standards, the most powerful man in the free world. And he has, I don't know, he is just headed for some, and us along with him, for some very, very bad time. And this guy is that certifiable. You know, during the election, I either called or emailed the program. And this was the same night when he had announced about grabbing women by the pussy and also being able to shoot somebody on Fifth Avenue. and suffering no consequence. And I was aghast, and your reply was very simple. Oh, hell, Jim, that's just going to get his followers even more head up. They'll love it.
Are we, I mean...
You remember that?
Yep, absolutely.
And here he is, President of the United States, and this guy is... not for him, but about him. He does act very decisively. He does not wait around. And I think the other side could take some lessons from his playbook. I really do. I mean, he's always there. And like this other little guy we've talked about with the funny-looking mustache, he always has something to pull out of the hat and hit you.
Well, as to our side learning from their playbook, after, and I didn't watch the Golden Globes. I don't watch awards programs, okay? I very seldom do. One, they're not very often on any of the channels that I get. And two, even if they are, usually I've got something better to do with my time, like, I don't know, watch paint dry. Yeah. My life is not improved by... Or, you know, I don't get the vicarious thrill that some people do of watching immensely wealthy people sit around and pat themselves on the back. I don't.
Wow.
But there was a great to-do made after Oprah's speech last night.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I get up this morning, I fire up the news, you know, because I check in to make sure the planet's still here every day. And lo and behold, there it is. Sources close to Oprah say she is seriously considering a run for the presidency.
Oh, good Lord.
Well, that's learning from their playbook. Never mind a statesperson. Never mind someone who's got actual experience in governing. Never mind. No, celebrity. And you know, that's...
Well, I'll tell you, if she did run, I'd vote for her.
Against Trump, I'd vote for an old yeller dog.
I mean, I think her performance last night was absolutely superb.
I'd vote for a three-legged possum over Donald Trump. I later saw excerpts of her speech, and I understand why it was. I understand why it was as moving as it was, because it was moving.
It was,
and it brought the house down. And it spoke a lot of badly needed to be spoken truths, and in the vein of well, it's not really only Nixon can go to China, but it's one of those things that had been that needed somebody to really kick the message into high gear.
Yep.
And with that, you know, with that line about the future, the new day is on the horizon. Hell, that's practically a campaign slogan, Jim.
Mm. Indeed it is. Indeed it is.
And the fact of the matter is, she could probably win. The question is, why would you want to? Trump, you know, Trump ran because he's an egomaniac. I think Trump ran because he wanted to make a lot of money out of it, which if he'd lost, he would have. And as it is, he's making bank with all the dignitaries. Well, you know, if I'm in Washington and I'm doing business with the government, I better stay at that Trump dump. But
yeah.
but he's got psychological pathologies running that I don't think are quite as evident, if they are evident at all, in Oprah Winfrey.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, I don't see why she'd want to be president.
Bob, why does anyone want to be president? It's the hardest fucking job in the world. And you kill yourself to get into that position. Well, after you get there, they're going to kill you while you're there, if they can. Not literally, but figuratively. And when you leave it, you're not in very good shape in most cases.
Well, Barack Obama and I are roughly are very near to the same age, and we got to watch him go from looking like a young man to looking like an old guy.
And I think he still looks good.
He does, but I mean, you know, he got the gray hair and everything. Whereas, you know, the only man that didn't happen to was Ronald Reagan, and that's because they were just dipping his head in coal tar every morning. But the fact of the matter is, everything that you said about the presidency was true up until this guy arrived a year ago. It's not killing him that we can see. And frankly, he's certainly not working himself to death.
No.
I mean, when your night ends with you staring balefully at your toothbrush and in gut-watering fear, and begins with you waking up at 8, you know, intermittently and tweeting off and on throughout the night because you can't sleep, and then sitting and watching Fox News for 3 hours in the residence before you can ever be coaxed and cajoled into the Oval Office. Jesus. And now he's going to have his physical on Friday.
By God, that regime would be enough to kill Godzilla. I mean, come on. I mean, you can imagine what's going on in his head when he is just a very short step from a precipice that could just overthrow all of them. I mean, it possibly could. I wish it would. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I would not care how he left the White House. Either feet first in an orange jumpsuit or a straitjacket. I would not care. The only trouble is you have somebody worse than him there, and that'd be Pence, who is even more equally trained in how to screw people with government.
Yeah.
It really is, whether he stays or whether he goes, it's a lose-lose situation for everybody. I'll tell you, there are four people who need to go. You've got him, Pence, Ryan, and that idiot, that Pelican from Kentucky, McConnell.
That Pelican. Wait a minute. You get a cowbell because nobody's ever referred to McConnell as a pelican.
Well, he looks like one who's just eating a whole bunch of fish.
Well, that's what I was about to say. Upon further reflection, I think that one scores.
Thank you, sir.
Mitch McConnell, human pelican.
I mean, these are the four most dangerous people in the Capitol. And without them, the whole charade would collapse. It would absolutely. But you see how the Republicans have joined ranks around Trump. You've got what's her name from South Carolina?
Nikki Haley.
Well, yeah, her and Miss Lindsey. And let's see. I thought Graham had enough sense to distance himself from something like that. But he's just tied his own fate together with Trump.
And there's a lot of people out there going, well, what the hell's happened to Lindsey?
I don't know.
I got a theory. And some other people, I got my little noggin, I got to scratching my, because there are things that have just been blown past in the last year. You've got people out there, oh, DNC, fucking DNC, goddamn, you know, Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and we know about the DNC hack, and now we know that the basis of the FBI warrant was not the Kushner meeting, but was in fact Papadopoulos flapping his gums, one. But more importantly, we have completely forgotten that the RNC and the DNC were hacked. But only the contents of the DNC hack was disclosed. This was not because they had awesome software over at the RNC, in my opinion. This
no,
is because there was highly useful information in that hack too, and that in combination with some other facts that you can pull together has led to the ability to make people who would otherwise said unnice things about Donald Trump suddenly get very, very obsequious.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, there is Russian oligarch money all over the Republican Party. And I believe I did read somewhere not too awfully long back that there was some Russian oligarch money that found its way into, how about that, Lindsay's little coffers down there at the ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode.
You mean Packer Wood? Well, I can tell you this, and I think I said this one night or sent you an email on the program. This whole thing is nothing but an FSB SIGINT operation or action. That's exactly what it is. And this is how they operate. They will use any means possible, be it personal history, financial influence, whatever. I mean, look at Trump, for example. I don't think there's a bank in this country that will lend him any money.
No. He burned all those relationships decades back.
Okay, so basically what he has to do is go through Deutsche Bank to get money from Moscow.
Right, and that Cypriot bank that Wilbur Ross was involved in, and when you tug those threads, they keep wind up being tugged to places like Rosneft and guys with complicated Russian names who
uh-huh.
have lots and lots of money
mm-hmm.
and who have lunch with Big Bad Vladdy Daddy.
Oh, yeah. And he is pulling the strings of this whole operation. He surely is. And, you know, I just wonder about...
And a significant portion of the population of this country doesn't even have enough left in them to be outraged about it. And that's on the left and the right, because this proves the efficacy of the social media business that they pulled. They didn't aim at the center. They didn't aim
mm-hmm.
at the Republican center or the Democratic center. They aimed at the margins. They aimed at the far left and the far right. And they hooked them, and they got them to swallow the hook all the way down deep into their entrails.
Well, there's no substitute for a bullseye. Therefore, you have these people to whom you just referred accepting the entire thing, as a fait accompli, and it's done, and they want to move on and get away from it. And you've got Trump, who's over there making all these decisions and all this bombast and stuff like that, they become used to it. It's a lot of them just love it.
Yeah, but over here on our side, it's going to be dangerous as we move into there's primaries not far away now.
Well, I know that.
And taking back the House is huge.
Here's the thing. He's still got the stock market, and he takes credit for that. We know that's bullshit. Well, that's one of the first things he's talking about. He just passed 25,000 yesterday or the day before, whenever. And he keeps trumpeting on building that wall and
right, yeah, now
all
he's,
kinds
he's,
of
he's
other go, crap.
Right, he's going to... They held a press conference Saturday, Jim, so he could come out and say he wasn't stupid.
I know he went to an Ivy League college, and he... was the host of a very successful reality TV show. And, well, I mean, if you could do all that, and if you can fuck so many people out of your own efforts to becoming a billionaire when he went bankrupt at a casino, and, I mean, you know, come on. I mean, but then he just glosses all that stuff over to make it look like he's the best thing since sliced bread. And these people believe him. They are so goddamn motherfucking stupid to believe this asshole.
Well, here's the question.
Not to look at his real background.
Here's the question, Jim. If he demands we give him credit when the stock market passes $25,000 because the corporations who just got a giant tax break are buying their own stock back as fast as they can so they can sell it for sell it at high prices or higher prices.
Duh.
Well, he demands to take credit for that. Will he get credit when the whole goddamn thing collapses like it's got to?
Yeah, it's going to have to correct itself, that's for sure. And when it does correct itself, it's going to make 2008 look like an Easter pageant.
I mean, and he rails against regulations so much. At what point in time, because we're kind of on the road to it already, are we just going to go back to letting anybody and everybody go and bet and borrow money, borrow on margin, and bet the stock market through the roof? Because we've been to that movie too, Jim.
Well, all these people were doing that, and then all of a sudden, guess what? There were enough consumers out there to buy the corporation's products. And a lot of people had invested in buying on the margin, and they didn't own those stocks. And they were wiped out in a millisecond. And it could happen again. And, you know, I don't think the government will be able to pull them out of it. I mean, 2008 was a good example of that.
Jim, when you consider the speed at which trades take place now.
Oh, God. Nanoseconds.
The algorithms. And that 825-mile-long trench between New York and Chicago?
Oh, yeah.
All for a four-second internet boost? Or something along those lines?
I don't even think it takes that long anymore.
The 1929 crash took a little bit to get really rolling.
Yeah, it did.
The next one's going to happen before somebody finishes an eye blink.
It will.
It's going to be there, and then it's not going to be there.
Well, it's all, you know, all of it's basically imaginary in the first place. It's just numbers on paper.
It ain't even on paper anymore.
I mean, it's just ones and zeros. That's it. And it's just go poof.
And, you know, electronic trading, automatic stops and things like that.
Uh-huh.
They can't operate in that time space.
No, they can't. So, I mean, you know, he might hang around and really get some real credit for some real bad things. And it's just a bad situation. When I see the stock market climbing these heights, and, you know, they're climbing to a precipice. And it's going to have to correct itself. I mean, you know, they used to say through certain governmental institutions and things like this, the market will be so regulated. The Securities and Exchange Commission today is an absolute joke. Look at the people that have been appointed to work in it and to control it.
Right, and let me shift gears on you for a minute, because you know he gave a speech today, right?
Oh, God, he gives one every day.
Well, today he spoke to the Farm Bureau. And I'm not kidding.
I miss this one.
I'm not
Please.
Kidding. Yeah, you can be grateful you did, because if you'd been watching it in live in real time, you'd have been so drunk by now you wouldn't have had time to, or wouldn't have had the ability to punch in the numbers to call. He said.
Thank you, Bob. Thank you, sir.
The straw would have been right into the Chivas bottle, and it would have been game on.
No offense taken. No offense taken.
But he sat there and told a bunch of farmers, "Aren't you glad I gave you the privilege of voting for me?"
Oh, no, nah, he didn't say that, did he really?
Yes, sir, three bags full.
Oh, my Lord. That he gave them the privilege of... When you say that, what came later? Please tell me.
Oh, you want all the context. Let me see if I can find it.
Well, I guess I do. My God, damn.
How much Chivas is left, Jim?
No, it's just Johnny Walker Red.
Let's see.
The old boy ain't what he used to be, so
yeah,
he rather abstinent.
He went down to Nash Vegas to speak to the Farm Bureau convention, and he stood in front of a banner that said "Rebuilding Rural America." And there were about 5,000 Farm Bureau Federation members and the Tennessee Republican contingent. And he said, "The American dream is roaring back." And then harangued the group for 35 minutes and declared, "You are forgotten no more. We're fighting for our farmers and we're fighting for our country and our great American flag. We want our flag respected, and we want our national anthem respected also." At which point, the maggots began chanting, "USA, USA, USA."
You did not see Kyle?
Getting there.
You see, that's exactly the parallel that I always draw between this man and Adolf Hitler. It's the same thing happening over and over again. And people are being dragged into it, and some are willingly going into it, some are fooled by it, who are honestly good people. But they are just taken aback by the rapidity and the horrendous impact that what he says, it all of a sudden becomes reality. And you've got this guy who sits there, and gets up at 11 o'clock, or is on duty at 11 o'clock. I don't know if he's ever on duty or not. Is up all night, tweeting and carrying on. And he won't eat White House food because he's scared something's got to poison him. He ought to just get one of those.
Yeah, and that raises the issue. Who is it he thinks is going to poison him? Who's that? Little boron's going to poison him? Melanoma?
Hell, Bob.
Ivanka? Hell, Jared?
Bob, I've eaten food at the White House. It was damn good. So did. It was a reception, but it was marvelous, and it wasn't poison. I didn't think about something like that. My God, that was on August 8th
Marty,
1990.
And Marty tells me that he also told the farmers to stand up and give him a standing ovation. But, yeah, here's the quote. Here's the quote. He said, "Oh, are you happy you voted for me? You're so lucky I gave you that privilege."
And what type of sane, developed human being in the stages of normal human growth and development would require such adulation?
Well, I don't think a sane person does. I don't think a normal person does.
I want to tell you something, buddy. The night that I emailed you during that election process or whatever you want to call it, when he started saying all this stuff, grabbing his dick, talking about grabbing pussy and shooting people on Fifth Avenue without recrimination, that told me right then and there, this guy's nuts. He's crazy. He's dangerous. And I was so appalled, and you correctly replied. You said, you know, and I'm repeating myself, I'm sorry. That's just going to get an even more head up. He did.
Yeah.
I'll never forget it.
Jim, they love him for it.
Yeah, they do. Oh, yeah. It's just one great big horrible reality show. That's what he's good at. And that's what they love for some reason. And yet they don't realize he is leading them right down to absolute destruction. He's going to take a few more with him, too, when he goes. I guarantee you that. I mean, the whole world is turning against this nation. I mean, they're looking at us like, what in the hell is happening to the United States of America? I was watching this program about the Holy Land last night and the celebrations they have over there, stuff like that, you know, around this time of year or Christmas, whatever. Boy, when he came out with those things about moving that embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem, boy, did he ruin that party. That place has been one gigantic turmoil or heap of turmoil ever since he did that.
Yep. And meanwhile, you've got at this same speech today, you've got him demanding, as Marty pointed out, and he sent along the story, so I wouldn't doubt.
Excuse me.
While touting the recently enacted tax reform legislation during an address at the American Farm Bureau Federation, Trump said Americans would now be able to keep your farms in the family because of changes to the estate tax. Get up, he said when they started clapping. Get up. That was a tough one to get. That was a tough one. Obviously, you love your families. Otherwise, you wouldn't be standing for that one.
I've just never seen anything like it. The closest I've ever seen anything like it would be the Nuremberg Party Congress rallies. He said even Hitler didn't have to tell him to get up. I mean, it's the closest thing I know
see,
of.
You see this as some and I'm not being cranky, okay? If I understand correctly, Jim, you see this as an anomaly. I see this as a trend. I see this as this country going where this country has been headed.
Oh, for the past 30 years.
You could say beginning with the governorship in California of Ronald Reagan.
Right, exactly. I agree with you.
And the rise of the celebrity politician.
I got it.
And this is, and I think it's probably also a function of failing or empires in decline. You can't do the business of empire anymore, so instead you roil the people with
bread and circuses
and spectacle.
Yeah, you got it. That's what they are. Exactly. That's what these whole things are. They're just very hollow, but very powerful. Just a shell with no real substance within it. I mean, if you really ask these people and try to talk to one of them and say, you know, what do you think is so great about this man? And you start to outline some of the stuff we've talked about tonight. They just look at you like you're Donald Duck. Or some of them get goddamn mad. They'll want to come in and whip your ass. Because they don't want to realize that they have been fooled so badly that they're that goddamn fucking stupid. I mean, pardon my language. But, I mean, really, it's just gotten to that point when, you know, I can't, you know, when I deal with this son of a bitch, I can't even start speaking with expletives and obliteratives. I really can't. I mean, it makes me just that crazy.
No, you just turn into Yosemite Sam and it's all Black Stag and Nut, Pull Frazzleck and Gobsmack and First. Yeah.
And the show up is a little loser.
Yeah.
That's about the truth. I mean, really, honestly and truly, I just can't deal with it anymore. I mean, I've tried to have some type of tangential contact over the Christmas holidays with family. Okay? Did not work. Did not work. I mean, you know, it's just did not work. And I said, well, and I think the upshot
and
for
scene.
My nephew,
yes,
by way of I was called by my sister by way of her son, a goddamn communist.
You?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
And
she
told me that he called Jim him that too.
Jim Anderson, commie simp. Yeah, right. Got it.
Got it. You know, I'm right there in the forefront of Nashville. Not with Trotsky. I told him to tell her that too. And I would be glad to. I said, put her on the phone. I'd be glad to have a few bars in Nashville for her. Hell,
oh,
she was a history teacher. She knew exactly what I was talking about. And, you know, my sister used to be a real good person. She still is, but she's got a lot of problems. But she has become so twisted around her beliefs and stuff like that, I don't even know her anymore.
Well, if it's any comfort, please understand it was a deliberate act. That's not something that just happened to her. It's not like getting the flu. Mm-hmm. That was done to her. And it was done to a whole lot of this country on fucking purpose. Okay?
And, Bob, this thing with her started back in the 70s and the 80s, and it got worse and worse and worse, and she became more intractable. And over a long period of time, that's the reason I'm interrupting you. I'm sorry.
No. I understand. But in what I mean is that in the context of Trumpanzeeism and whatever its opposite is over on the fringes of what passes for the left, you know, what left? it's a deliberate act. You know, this is not a boating accident.
No, it's not.
And in point of fact, I'm no warmonger. I'll put my peace credentials up against anybody's. But the fact of the matter is, a lot of this operation was managed out of the Russian military. And so whether it's a cyber attack or an attack with a goddamn tank, when a military attacks you, what is that called, Jim?
What I said it was. It's just called an act of war. That's what it is. Except this is covert war.
It doesn't seem so terribly covert now, does it?
No, not really. It's coming to the surface by anyone who has the, you know, wherewithal or the desire. It doesn't take a whole lot of that what's behind this.
And it has recently come to light, Jim. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but, you know, every so often the Russian military does exercises that are purportedly defensive exercises.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Germans come rolling across the steps with their tanks again, sort of things.
No way, yeah, sure.
And, you know, if you had the kind of borders they got, you'd probably have them too.
Yeah, of course they would. I mean, that'd be made by everybody in the world.
But here's the funny one. The 2017 version of those exercises were done in such a way that there was no more than 12,000 troops per grouping, but the groupings all took place at more or less the same time, and it was all the way from the Arctic Circle to the southern borders of the Russian Federation. And instead of being defensively oriented, the operating supposition was, what would it look like if we rolled that way? It was offensive in nature.
Of course. I mean, it would be like post-Stalingrad, forward to the Vistula. Exactly. That's exactly what it would be, that same type of zeitgeist.
Well, this was more in the way of a forward to the Atlantic.
Well, I mean, what are boundaries? I mean, you know, boundaries, what are they? Lies on a map?
Yeah, no, boundaries, schmoundaries, right?
That's it. You got it. Listen, I know this is, we're sort of going around here, at least. I just try to remain in seclusion. But on a happier note, so what are your expectations for tonight's football game?
Obviously, I want a Crimson Tide victory. I would prefer one that didn't require me to bite my nails down to the cuticles, but if that's what it has to be, it has to be.
Well, I hope you and your family are gathered around whatever you're watching or listening to.
Well,
is it going to be a family situation?
Ferg's out. Agnes and I will probably watch, under the covers. That seems to be the most comfortable place to be these days. Although, you know, we've gotten a little bit of a break. You know, it's amazing how comfortable 30 degrees can be after zero. And everybody, everybody from Illinois northward is going, you pissant, 30 degrees to bullshit zero. But there's some kind of demar. I mean, there's a hell of a lot more cold between 30 and 10 than there is between 50 and 30. I know that makes no sense. And I'm talking Fahrenheit.
I know what you're talking about exactly. Yeah, you're right. Well, I hope you got a fire built.
I got my little propane heater right here, and it's chugging along and doing fine.
I mean, not your studio. I mean, I was just trying to picture like a family evening around the fireplace with you guys.
Well, if there's a fire built, there's a problem, and the fire department will be on the way because there ain't no fireplace here. But
well, sorry about that, Chief. Just didn't know. I've never been to the mansion.
No, you've never been to Shake and Kate. I understand. You've never been to the mansion. that led to a lot of questions way back when it was, you know, well, how's Santa Claus going to get? We don't have a chimney. And you have to say, well, you know, Santa Claus carries burglar's tools, too. He's one of the few people who's allowed to.
Oh, well, Lord, yes, you're right. Absolutely. So you and Agnes will just be curled up under the covers watching the game.
And
guacamole.
Exactly. And good guacamole, too, at that. You know, none of that store-bought stuff. This is made from real life avocados that were hard as baseballs and were ripened in a brown paper bag.
My God, how long have you been working on those?
I bought them 2 or 3 days ago.
Well, you remember what you're going to do with those seeds.
I love to grow little avocado trees, but we never, you know, they never survive.
They will, if you're right now.
Yeah, well, you got to get the right, you know. If I'm springing for grow lights, it ain't for no little avocado sapling, Jim. That's all there is to it.
Well, that's an economic point. That's for damn sure. Absolutely. And, listen, how's your telephone situation working out with all your sites and stuff like that?
No, we're talking. It took some work, but I think it was Thursday that I played the Beethoven and Beethoven fixed Skype? So.
Yeah, what happened?
I have no idea. I have no earthly idea.
Do you think you'll get the old contracts back or what you used to have a couple of years ago?
Yeah, I'd like to do that, but a brand new Comrex is something on the order of $3,000.
I've even forgotten what that was able to do.
Well, I mean, it was able to take 6 phone calls at one time. And then the 6 phone lines were, you know, $600
a month. Yeah. And now it all has to be done through Skype.
Well, that's the most economical way, you know, short of having $3,000 that I'm not doing anything with laying around.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But, I mean, it would be nice. I'd like to be able to sit there and see those 6 lines all blink and people waiting wanting to talk. But it's not a possibility. And, you know, and if I can ever pull everything together and do some massive crowdfunding campaign and it goes viral on social media, then we'll have solar power here, a new Comrex, lots of phone lines, and...
Understood.
Exactly.
Well, in spite of your limitations, I think, and I've listened to most of your Friday night on the porch things, and you've got some... That's some very interesting people who call in.
Oh, the Horn family community.
Extremely erudite people.
A lot of folks that know a lot of stuff, and it's absolutely fascinating for me, too. Jim, the services are about to begin, so I'm going to ring off here and get my head in a proper religious state of mind and roll tide.
Well, roll tide, whatever. Whatever floats your boat, whatever which way the tide goes in, but just don't stand there on the shore commanding it not to get your feet wet. Now
that's right. No, we want it to roll the other way over them dogs.
That'd be a King Canute.
All over them dogs. Jim, you take care. Have a good evening.
Likewise.
All right. Bye. Bye. That's our buddy Jim. And it is. It's time to get out of here. Hey, big thanks going out to Mike in Cascadia. That means we took the fundraising goal down by another $25. That means we've got a fundraising goal for tomorrow of only $355. So thank you, Mike. Thank you very kindly. And I'll catch you tomorrow. I'm getting out of here in a hurry. Thank you, Clarity. Happy game night, Bob. Thank you very kindly. And roll tide, y'all. I'm out of here. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.